The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? You are listening to the HSP SmackDown Review. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter Brian Perga.
Damn right.
And we have made it, trendsetters. We are on the WWE podcast. So good to be here, guys. Want to wish you guys a early happy Memorial Day weekend as we head into the weekend, and we got your SmackDown review, trendsetter. We're brand new to this show here, and we've added our Special Touch High Spot Podcast. That's what HSP stands for. So first and foremost, man, because we haven't done this in a while as far as our own show, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to do this review for SmackDown. Now, before I was called the trendsetter, I called myself, and that's a word of advice, guys. Don't ever call yourself or give yourself a nickname. I was the conscious mind of professional wrestling because I used to cover SmackDown. I watched it religiously and would write articles about it, too, because I thought it was one of the shows better than Raw because it had involved more wrestling, storylines were more involved. I was more intrigued by it, and now I got a chance to review it all over again. It's been a while, guys. I'm a little rusty, but I'm excited to talk about this card leading into Backlash.
Yeah, so just real quick, guys, so you get to learn a little bit about ourselves is I'm Jeff Martin. You can follow me on my Twitter at Jeff Martin HSP, and we host a show called High Spot Podcast, which is on Bodyslam.net, a pro wrestling website, and we have had some success in covering.
You're being modest there, Jeff.
Well, I mean, toot my own horn, but we've had some success covering pro wrestling, and we've been lifelong WWE fans, so. When we had the opportunity, we were approached to, do this, I was like, sure. And again, SmackDown, you're right, was the wrestling brand. And of course, it's always been known as the B-Show. But since it went on SmackDown Live, it's, you've had kind of maybe hopes that it would become something more. So we'll get to talk about that. But one thing, though, that I really don't want to become is if you guys are looking for some people that are just going to trash the product or are just going to be so negative that, that's what you're going to feed off of, then this really won't be your kind of podcast because we want to be fair, but we want to give it to you like from two fans that, have a perspective where we can be objective. We don't really want to, just talk bad about the product because, what fun would that be? Although some people would get their jollies out of doing that, but this is not how we want it to be, Trendsetter. I don't know how it is for you, but I definitely don't want to be that, that negative wrestling fan that's just here to trash the company any chance that I get.
Well, kind of piggyback off what you just said, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, I get it. That's the kind of message we want to get across to the audience that's listening to us, and we thank you so much for listening to us. But like Jeff said, I mean, we're looking at it from the perspective, at least from my mindset, as two reporters basically breaking it down for you, nitpicking in terms of trying to see how it could get better. I mean, trying to understand the storyline standpoint, where they're going, what direction they're going, but also if we are going to nitpick, seeing, all right, why did they make this decision? How could it have gotten better? And really just looking at it from more of an objective standpoint. But again, also giving our opinions of how we feel about it. Because again, at the end of the day, as Jeff said, we're fans, we're the audience, so we want to give our interpretation of how we feel certain things are going during the show. And the one thing that's been consistent, whether SmackDown's moved to Tuesdays, it's gone to Thursdays, it's been on the USA Network, it's been on UPN9, and now here it is on Fox, and now it is on Fridays. One thing consistent, it's always been 2 hours, though.
Yeah, no, it has. And, again, though, like, we're going to have some fun here. We're going to, give you the review of what happened on SmackDown, but we're also going to, like I said, our insight to what's going on the Blue Brand. So, Trendsetter, lots of stuff to do here, and again, we're going to make it fun, going to keep it rolling here, 30 to 40 minutes, Trendsetter, and, we want to hear your feedback as well, too. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. If you want to catch the show, High Spot Podcast, just go follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. We have new episodes every Friday. We were a little bit under construction, but now kind of like retuning it, and hopefully you guys like it. We want to hear your feedback here, too, and glad to be here on the WWE Podcast Review and SmackDown for HSP, the rebrand of High Spot Podcast or Trendsetter. I mean, we can get to a lot of stuff, but let's do some let's just say some housework here, and let's talk about something that I've been thinking about, and that is, you know, they went all out to make Drew Gulak, you know, relevant. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And they put him with Daniel Bryan, and I was like, okay, this works. It's something different. It's giving somebody a shot. And then they do not pick up the contract of Drew Gulak, and he becomes a free agent, and they just let it run. So it was just a little puzzling to me to realize one day, and you told me, actually, that they had just decided not to renew Drew Gulak's contract. So I'm a little bit puzzled about that, because why WWE just, you know, kind of, you know, like, try to push someone that maybe they didn't know that they weren't going to keep. And I know this pandemic has done a lot of stuff and a lot of crazy releases happened the past month or so, but, I mean, that was just a little bit of a head-scratch to why Drew Gulak had that push up until WrestleMania, then lost in the Intercontinental title tournament to Daniel Bryan, and then was just let go, like, didn't get re-signed. It was just weird.
Yeah, it was weird, but I wasn't surprised, and you know why, Jeff? And you kind of answered your own question here, because you're talking about, you know, the pandemic and all things that have been happening. I think that's kind of the main reason. You and I have talked about this before, guys, on our show, where, you know, the WWE has done a great job of acquiring a lot of talent and just really acquiring and just keeping them in place, whether they want to enjoy their time on main event, whether they want to just be in the back and not have anything written for them, and just enjoy catering, because who wouldn't? Because people talk about the catering.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. Why wouldn't you want that? Yeah. And just collect the paycheck. But that's what they've done. So with all these releases and now Drew Gulak, it doesn't surprise me, because although they were pitting him with Daniel Bryan, it doesn't really feel like they're going to go in any direction. And at this point right now, if the WWE is going to make any type of commitment, Jeff, since they're not doing house shows, since all the events are being held from the Performance Center, a lot of income isn't really coming in unless you're buying WWE subscriptions and you're buying merchandise. They have to cut corners. And so with a talented guy like Drew Gulak, granted, we haven't seen a lot of his personality. We're starting to see a little bit of it when he was pitted and paired with Daniel Bryan. At this point, it doesn't surprise me. You have to make cuts and cut budgets any way you can right now. And the main focus is going to be on where they mainly wanted to be, on their main stars, on Daniel Bryan, on an AJ Styles, on a Braun Strowman. There's not going to be enough space for a Drew Gulak in this type of a two-hour show.
Yeah, so this is the first time that we've had a chance to talk about that, and it's been something that's been on my mind, so I finally get the chance to talk to you about this whole situation, and I guess so, you know, with the whole pandemic and everything, there's going to be people.
Were you a fan of Drew?
You know what? He was growing on me.
Okay.
Just because we started to see some, you know, character development. But then again, though, you've got guys like Cesaro who are, you know, still losing to like guys like Drew Gulak and are still in the background that should, you know, be given the opportunity. He's not even... And I'm talking about Cesaro, not in the Intercontinental title tournament.
Yeah, no, that's surprising.
And
why
it's
they
surprising.
Didn't
so I just more as a puzzling head scratcher there, because all of a sudden he loses to Daniel Bryan, cuts a promo, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's future endeavored, or, you know, he's not even, you know, part of the company now. So that's a little bit puzzling too. But again, though, that's just one of the things too that's going to happen too when we've had this coronavirus here, and hopefully things get back to normal eventually. But right now we're going to have shows that, you know, don't have the fans, and we know that's something that, you know, wrestling fans love to do, is be at the events, and wrestlers, they love feeding off the fans. So so that's just something that I wanted to talk about too, the Drew Gulak not being there, and where WWE goes on from there. But Trendsetter, interesting night in SmackDown, opening up with the Dirt Sheet with John Morrison and The Miz.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you like that sarcastic sophomoric humor, then I guess that's the show for you. I mean, hey, there's no doubt in my mind that those two have great chemistry together. But the mere fact that they were pitted when a lot of people thought it was going to go in a different direction, hey, it is what it is. I thought they did a somewhat entertaining segment there. All led to Braun Strowman coming out, because that was the main focus. And led to a match between Miz and Braun Strowman, singles match. Now, for me, what I'm interested in more than that, Jeff, is like, where do we go? I mean, we know we're eventually going in terms of, we'll talk about it a little bit later in terms of Backlash, but do you like this dynamic? They have Morrison and Miz back together, or would you preferred them being separated right now? Because a lot of people were wondering, oh, is this going to be Morrison's push now in a singles championship run?
Well, we know how good he was in Impact Wrestling when he was the man by himself. And now you find out that he's going to sign with WWE. They announce it beforehand. They make a big deal about it. He goes on different shows promoting when he'll, you know, be there, when he will, you know, which brand he'll be on. He eventually goes to SmackDown. And you're thinking, okay, singles push. But then they put him with The Miz, which to me is just something that WWE is comfortable with. They, to me, I just feel that they didn't think that, you know, what could we do with a singles run with John Morrison? So we'll put him with, you know, his friend The Miz and someone he's tag teamed before, won championships with. And, you know, this is what we do. We get to kind of have interaction between him and The Miz, try to get The Miz back a little bit going, because he kind of was a little bit on a dry spell as well, where he was going, in what direction, we didn't know. So put them together, and it's been okay. I mean, they've won tag team titles. Morrison won the match at WrestleMania, that ladder match, and okay, here you go. But then they lost recently, and you're a little bit puzzled where they're going. And now where they're going is they're going to Backlash, and they're going to challenge Braun Strowman in a handicap match, 2-on-1, for the WWE Championship, which again is another thing where WWE loves doing these handicap matches.
They do, and for the mere fact that, you know, you have a guy like Braun Strowman who's been known of dealing with these type of handicap matches before, to me it's like, you know, I hate to say it, Jeff, but it really feels more of like a space filler. I mean, I think right now the main storyline that people want to get to, but they're kind of trying to save it a little bit more, is, you know, what happens when Bray Wyatt brings The Fiend to face Braun Strowman after losing to Braun Strowman and losing his chance at the Universal title. So I think they're just kind of planting that seed that's going to eventually happen. And unfortunately, and it's sad because Morrison and Miz, despite what you think about Miz, are two talented individuals. And they have, like I said, they have great chemistry together. So it stinks that they're being pitted in this situation just to cover time and space, and that's what it feels like to me. It's exciting. I personally don't have really any fear of Braun Strowman. We'll see the weeks leading to Backlash, how they develop the storyline to get me more invested that there might be a possibility that Braun is in trouble. But when you have commentators like Corey Graves saying, you know, I think Braun Strowman's bit more off more than he could chew, really, has he? Does he look worried to me?
No, he doesn't.
I mean, would you have done all this like scenario with the huge build-up that we've talked about? Braun Strowman has had ample opportunities for WWE that you and I have talked about to say, all right, this is the moment for Braun to be the man, to be the champion, and it hasn't happened. And then, unfortunately, being a sub for Roman Reigns, it's kind of like it didn't end up the way you want it to be right now, but I think the way they invested in Braun, it'd be foolish to think that Morrison and Miz would be a legit threat to Braun Strowman.
And again, though, this is where we have to, you know, where Braun has to try to convince us that he is not just holding that belt for Roman Reigns, that he just didn't win it because Roman Reigns couldn't wrestle at WrestleMania. So, you know, he beat Bray Wyatt, and now, like you said, there's going to be an eventual matchup with The Fiend, and we'll see where that goes. But as far as like any real threat Miz and Morrison, give Braun Strowman, I'm not sure about that. I'm really gonna take your side and think that, you know, Braun Strowman here is gonna carry it on till The Fiend.
Now, they're interviewed by Renee Young, asking, you know, what their thoughts were and the fact that they were going to be facing Braun Strowman to have an opportunity at the Universal Championship. And Miz said it plainly, which I think we'll see as the weeks lead on to Backlash. He basically said on TV, "We're going to make Braun Strowman's life a living hell." Let's see how that plays itself out, because if that's intriguing enough, then they've sold it on me. But right now, looking at it retrospectively, doesn't really interest my fancy there, if I should say.
Your fancy, trendsetter.
Using the big words there, my fancy.
And pitted, too. A lot of words. Yeah. You've said pitted about 3-4 times here, and it's just been marvelous, trendsetter.
Now your sarcasm does not elude me, Jeff.
Oh, I can't be sarcastic, man. We're on the WWE podcast here. It's a new era now for SmackDown.
It's a new era for you. It's not for me. I still have to deal with this guy on a weekly basis. I can't stand him. And it's surprising we haven't insulted each other till this point on. So kudos to you. I tried to keep it professional, guys, as you could tell. But, Jeff, you know, you just had to do it. You just had to do it. You couldn't help it.
Well, it took me one match review before the trendsetter got mad at me. So I think I did a pretty good job. Usually it's the intro where you can't stand me. So I got you on the ropes right now, trendsetter. So we'll see if you can last without hating me even more.
Well, your energy is astounding, Jeff.
Show, trendsetter.
Exactly.
So AJ Styles, who made his return on Raw, and then challenged for Money in the Bank, and now he's on SmackDown, and he's in the Intercontinental Title Tournament, which is, hey, I love it. Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, you know, tell me when they're fighting, and I'm watching, right? Because we all have that New Japan, you know, G1. We have all that, you know, Wrestle Kingdom's memories that we have with AJ.
Because we're the die hardcore fans, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So we know what we're going to get, you know, as much as I want to race WrestleMania 34, because I think they were kind of maybe a little bit, you know, held back by WWE and what they wanted to do. Well, that's a podcast for another time, but I'm thinking, hey, let's save this one for a pay-per-view, you know, let's save this one for whatever, but it is what it is, and AJ Styles gets the victory in his neon green, and the reasoning that he is now on SmackDown is because he's been traded from Raw to SmackDown for two SmackDown wrestlers to be named later, right?
That's what they said now, but I'm checking out on Twitter for the WWE. It's basically, you know, they had breaking news that AJ Styles has been traded to SmackDown for future considerations now, not just two superstars. And I'm looking a little bit further down here and kind of investigating myself, Jeff. The future considerations are that Raw will lose a second and third round pick and two wrestlers in consideration, and we'll be paying the rest of AJ's salary. So I'm kidding you, Jeff.
I'm about to say, I'm looking at you like,
come on. I mean, we try to pit this so close to sports, and again, I give a lot of credit to WWE. They're trying to
I
do that too.
For that, man.
It's kind of hard to believe the Raw loses a second and third round, and then two superstars.
Is there this draft that's going
to
happen?
Plus, pay the rest of AJ's salary that he was guaranteed on Raw. So you know, I'm trying to make fun of it in light of it too. You know, the whole Superstar Invitational too. It goes back to the main thing. I'm sure a lot of guys can relate to this. You guys listen to the show right now. Jeff, how much time and effort have they put into separating the brands? And now you have this. I mean, come on. Either commit to it or don't. And I think that's kind of the thing that, you know, if you're a fan of WWE and you start getting a little antsy and riled up and annoyed, that's what happens. You guys are trying to separate these two shows. Why do we need to have somebody from another show come along? And then when, you know, we're all excited about AJ going to Raw. And then obviously this is SmackDown review, but we're excited about him going to Raw, trying to do something different there, and they just didn't have anything for him. So what's the simple thing? Let's move him back to SmackDown. He was popular there. People liked him.
It's the house that AJ Styles built, man.
Yeah, and that's it. And you're right, and it's in a qualifying, getting advancing to the semifinals against Shinsuke Nakamura. When you look on paper, these two have had a long history, not just in New Japan, but what they've built on WWE programming, and then you're just pitting them together and just, hey, let's put these two together. That's it. Really?
In an opening.
That's what we're doing
here. I mean, I guess you say semifinal, but you're having these guys start it off, which is okay. Again, the wrestling's been good on SmackDown. You know, it's been good. It's just, to me, it's just, you know, the storylines, and if you want to blame the pandemic and blame the no fans in the audience and how
I don't
know,
do that though.
You know, I mean, as an excuse, then I mean, okay, so be it. But I don't think that's what it is. I just think right now there's like this lull, this dry spell in wrestling right now. There's just, you know, people maybe are just not getting into the stories, or they want some more. Like, I think what's missing is there's just no more spontaneity. There's no more like, oh man, like, you know, the lines between, you know, reality and, you know, oh, okay, I knew that was gonna happen. Like Eric Bischoff says, and oh, was that supposed to happen? I think we need more of it. And you know, we're gonna delve into that as we, you know, continue with the show here, HSP SmackDown review. We're gonna get more into that. What can be done to fix SmackDown? Because it's not just SmackDown, it's Raw. The ratings have just been, you know, abysmal. Let's be honest with you. And this is, to me, Fox has been very patient with SmackDown, understanding, I believe, with this pandemic and what's going on with the ratings, but more people are home.
Yeah,
though,
Jeff,
and
let's be honest.
Watching.
This has been going on way before the pandemic started. And you said the one thing, you know, the matches have been good, but what's the one thing that's you know, we can talk about storyline, but it's commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you want to talk about, you know, throwing a curveball here and there. You know, the fact that Otis is the Money in the Bank winner and now has a chance at whatever title you think, maybe in this case, the Universal Championship, you're like, wow, that's a curveball right there. That was something we weren't expecting.
And it's fine, but to me, it's just the way he won it.
Well, not just the way he won it, but the point I'm trying to make is that you have a match like AJ and Nakamura, and they're trying to bring, again, for the millionth time, Prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship. And then you have another match pitted, Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. The winner of that would face Daniel Bryan, and now AJ, who defeated Shinsuke, will now be facing Elias. It's like, these are matches. They're good matches. I'm not saying they are. I mean, they're watchable. You enjoy them. I enjoyed the AJ Styles Shinsuke match, as I enjoyed the Sheamus Jeff Hardy. But there's just nothing there. It goes more to the fact that maybe 5 years ago, guys, I would enjoy that. And like, yeah, just put the matches together. I'll just enjoy watching the quality match. But it's the commitment. where are we going with this? Can we stop being repetitive? Can we actually think of something new? And with the fact that you just put AJ and Shinsuke in a match together, granted, it's a good match, but like that's it. There's no backstory there. Why is AJ here? Oh, he was traded. It's as simple as that. He was just traded. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no backstory to why he was traded, and the mere fact that like for future considerations, more specific here? Can we keep the brands separated? That's to me the biggest frustration. There's no commitment. And unfortunately, SmackDown's suffering that too.
It's that panic when you see the ratings and you're Vince and you're like, I gotta do something here, and let's not bring the brands together and have like those super shows or just, you know, the heck with the brand split, but we're gonna have these cross invitationals like here and there, four times a year or whatever, which I doubt, you know, that'll be done by midsummer. And
exactly.
And the second that we are allowed to go out, the ratings are just gonna get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this summer that's been taken away from us of 2020, which seems like it's going to be. And the first second they say you can go to the beach, or the first second the restaurants are open, or anything like that, we're scatting out of there. For the first time in history, people won't be on their laptops. People won't be on, you know, gaming. Maybe they'll be gaming or whatever on their Twitch, but they're going to be outdoors because it's the summertime. Let's just face it. And that's when WWE struggles, in the summertime, because everybody's out. Everyone's, you know, even a vacation as far as just taking into the next town is going to be something that's going to be like, a breath of fresh air for us right now with what we've gone through the last several months here. But again, though, AJ Styles advances. He will take on Elias. And one thing that I've got to talk about is something that correlates with AJ Styles is we see a promo for The Undertaker, The Last Ride, Episode 3. And on the positive note, and kudos to WWE on how tremendous this documentary series has been. I mean, everyone's talking about The Last Dance, which I enjoyed, but they should call it the MJ documentary. It's The Last Ride, The Undertaker. You've never seen The Undertaker in this manner. And the correlation where, you know, AJ is there, Undertaker speaks highly of AJ, and AJ still has that loss in his belt at WrestleMania towards The Undertaker. You made a great point, too, that this maybe doesn't signal the end, but maybe it's the beginning of another feud with AJ Styles. A lot of stuff here, but mostly what I want to say is it's been great to watch Undertaker and see him the way he is, vulnerable and real, and it's been awesome. And kudos to WWE because The Last Ride has been absolutely amazing.
You like using the word kudos a lot, don't you?
Kudos is my word today.
It is, exactly. No, it's an amazing documentary.
Take shots, folks. This is great. What I've been known to do is I've been great to do shots games. So every time I say tremendous or kudos here on the show, take a shot and drink your worries away here in this pandemic when you're listening to the HSP SmackDown review on the WWE podcast.
Yes, but always remember, guys, drink responsibly, especially when Jeff's talking. But no, it's a great documentary. And like I said, I mentioned this before, there seems to be a reason why this is going on. I mean, if you guys listen to the documentary of The Last Ride, it's really great. I would recommend watching it. Free plug there for the WWE Network. But there's a point where Undertaker says he's looking for that one match. Either he's basically going to rest until the wheels fall off, which basically happened. He has two hip replacements now. And most likely, he wants that one match that's going to define, saying, all right, I can end on this. Talking about AJ, thought I had a great match with AJ. I mean, it wasn't a match, but it was a boneyard match at WrestleMania. It was done more theatrically, more movie-based, which is really good, by the way. And a lot of people really, you know, poo-pooed on it, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was really good in terms
of
that dynamic.
But you're allowed your opinion here on the SmackDown.
But if this is all building up for the fact that AJ wants redemption, and Undertaker's gone on record saying that he reminds him so much like Shawn Michaels, why wouldn't Undertaker want to end his career with AJ? And I think that might happen. They're slowly building it. I think they're maybe doing it to see if the people are intrigued by it. I know I certainly am, because I think the one thing for WrestleMania that we were kind of robbed of, not just the fact that you and I couldn't go to Tampa, and we were the guys, if you wanted to the backstory, listen to the High Spot podcast, that we were so built, was so set up everything, had to cancel everything in one shot. But we missed that one singles match that we wanted to see. If there's one person at this stage in Undertaker's career that he could look amazing with, I feel it would be AJ Styles. So I think they're slowly building up that aspect of it. And to me, it would be a great great build-up towards next year's WrestleMania in Los Angeles.
And a great way to call it a career for The Undertaker, which I believe he will announce like a certain date he has in mind, target date, when we're going to see the end of an era, as they promoted for this week's Undertaker episode.
Yeah. And as we get older as fans, we enjoy more the behind-the-scenes type of stuff. We like like looking behind the curtain. And it takes nothing away from the fact that, you know, Undertaker's born of the old mindset, you protect the business, you protect the gimmick. But sometimes just showing the other side of you makes you respect it so much more, because the commitment he's done in a 30-year career to take that opportunity that Vince McMahon gave him to be the Undertaker, and most likely, you know, all he's done, I mean, we talk about the house that AJ Styles built. Undertaker really built the foundation of SmackDown, because he was basing majority of time on that show. And so it's like, what a great fitting with those two. But at the same time, what a great way to see another side of The Undertaker. Just makes me respect the guy even more for what he's done. And honestly, the one thing that he says will stick with me, Jeff, he gets it. He said that about AJ. He gets it. And so does The Undertaker. He gets it. The way it's supposed to be, the way you pass the supposed torch to somebody else, Undertaker knows that, and he knows the business aspect of it too. So it's really great for guys who love The Undertaker but just love the business in general to see that behind-the-stage stuff. Makes you more excited to see more stuff like that happen.
So last week, Charlotte kind of planted the seed to Sasha and Bayley, kind of trying to mix things up, saying how, like, you know, Sasha, you know, helps Bayley, and Bayley can't win without Sasha. And, you know, we know where this is going, folks. You know, this is as clear as anything that you're going to see where this is going to. And I'm glad that WWE is doing this prolonged feud between Sasha and Bayley, right?
Oh, man,
and something that's
forever.
Been like 3 years in the freaking making, right? Yeah. So we know that that's going to happen, right? So now you're seeing the everything developing. Now you can see where this is heading to. And Charlotte planted a little bit of the seed. And tonight we got champion versus champion. And we got the NXT Women's Champion versus Bayley. And Bayley came out with the victory. Now, mind you, it was a roll-up. Got the 1-2-3. And kind of a little bit of an upset, as the Queen has been on a tremendous roll in the WWE. She's kind of going out on Raw, SmackDown, NXT. You know, we know where she stands with the company. We know what they see her as. They value her as that champion, right? So she is going everywhere, you know, wrestling everybody, you know, taking care of business on NXT.
Yeah.
So now you get this match, and, you know, as much as Bayley is annoying, as far as his new gimmick is,
that's an understatement, man. Let's be honest here. Tell me how you feel about Bayley.
I give her kudos shots. Okay, take the shot. Okay, so now, you know, she's coming into her own. Something where it was a hindrance on Raw, she just wasn't getting over. She's turned heel, and she's been the SmackDown Women's Champion now. And, you know, eventually it's going to lead to Sasha turning babyface, I believe, because Bayley is just killing it as a heel. And to get this victory is huge, and it just shows you where Bayley has come. It is night and day to where she has taken her career since being on SmackDown, because she has taken back her career as a heel, gets the victory over Charlotte. It really doesn't hurt Charlotte at all. She heads into NXT In Your House against Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley in a triple threat. And Bayley, again, they're continuing to just plant that seed between Sasha Banks and Bayley for a future championship match.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice to see Bayley kind of come in her own and really showcase her personality. And, you know, I think from where I heard it, Stone Cold said it best, and I'm sure he wasn't the first one that said this, guys, but your best characters and personalities or personas or gimmicks are yourself with the volume turned up to 10. And that's what Bayley's done right now. You know, it's no more the cookie cutty, you know, fan.
Cutter?
No, I say cutty, because, you know, I don't want to copy people's catchphrases.
Gotcha.
I have my own catchphrases. I have my own thesaurus of things that I say that are incorrectly and make no sense, guys. You'll learn to love it. But it's nice to see her come in her own and showcase her personality more. As for Sasha, though, you know, it's funny. When Sasha lost her smile and was away for a little bit and then came back, you would like to think, oh, she's going to pick up right where she left off. I mean, and I think it's fair to say, Jeff, and disagree with me if you may, I think she's a better heel than she is a babyface. And so the mere fact that you're going to, you know, it's building up towards Sasha, you know, being second fiddle to Bayley, and Bayley taking advantage of that now, and now, you know, Sasha can't take any more, and it's going to eventually happen. You know, I don't think that's a great position for Sasha, but that's where it's leading to. As for Charlotte, though, I agree with you. This loss doesn't hurt Charlotte. But the mere fact that, you know, when you look at SmackDown, this is what I took from it, Jeff, and tell me what your thought is on this. The mere fact that Charlotte, the NXT Women's Champion, has to come over to SmackDown to help build up this whole thing that might happen or will eventually happen between Bayley and Sasha. What does that say about the women's division on SmackDown right now? That there's nobody else there that could be an instigator, that could be somebody who's running after Bayley. We have to bring Charlotte here, who, by the way, is a great NXT champion, but there are very few within the company. AJ Styles comes to mind, or if we're talking about SmackDown, and Charlotte are two individuals that really don't need titles. So to see AJ in an Intercontinental tournament, granted, he's never won the Intercontinental title, is cool. To see Charlotte's NXT Women's Champion come into SmackDown, we need the NXT Women's Champion to come to SmackDown so we can be more invested into the storyline between Bayley and Sasha.
Well, if like you say, AJ Styles is just very valuable, it is indeed the title, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's leading to a possible dream match in the finals, which we'll get to in a little bit here. But you know what, though? Back on Charlotte, though, it just shows you that the position she has in WWE, you know, she will go down. And people can argue maybe they think a lot of stuff's been handed to her, stuff like that, and maybe because she's the daughter of Ric Flair. But when all is said and done, she most likely will become the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And
she's on that road.
And it'll be – and eventually down the road. And it'll be – you know, you think of Trish Stratus, you think of Chyna, a lot of names come to mind. But
Bertha Faye. Alundra Blaze.
That's the trendsetters –
No, I get you, though. Alundra Blaze, Trish Stratus, Chyna, women that kind of define their era. I think Charlotte is
going to
here.
Be on that Mount Rushmore when all is said and done. So, and a win over Charlotte from Bayley here just sets up Bayley is just even stronger in her character. So we will see what happens down the road. But, guys, it's clearly heading towards Bayley and Sasha. We'll see where it develops in the next few weeks.
As a fan, Jeff, if it happens, do you think this should have happened 2 years ago, a year ago, this
whole turn and
twist?
That's where the timing
When it eventually happens, you as a fan, give me your honest opinion, you as a fan, will it matter to you now that Sasha turns on Bayley and wants to, you know, beat her for the women's title?
Like you said, it depends on the story. It depends on how they do it, because last couple of years, it was great because you knew that Sasha was going to be the heel and Bayley was going to be the baby face. But now here, when they have it the other way around, it's going to be interesting to see how they do it and what kind of story they tell. So we'll see. I mean, I can tell you right now, I'm going to give it a shot and wait to see what happens. If it's going to be something where, they should have done it 2 years ago, WWE's going to fail on another lost opportunity. All right, Trendsetter, we got Otis and Mandy in a mixed tag team match against Dolph Ziggler and Sonya Deville. Now, I'm going to say something here on the show that's going to shock everybody. It might be the first shocking thing I say in a long time.
Won't be the last.
But you were talking about the women's division, and I'm going to give kudos, again, another shot, to somebody that I think has done a great job. No, not Mandy. She's gorgeous. She doesn't need to do anything else but just look gorgeous. Sonya Deville, to me, has improved so much. And even in the promos that she did promoting this matchup, I can tell that she's improving. And I think that she's doing a good job. And I think that the team of her and Ziggler, it's going to make her do better. And I think this is a good start for her. As far as the match here, it's still continuing from the friendship and stuff like that was lost between Mandy and Sonya. The whole Ziggler losing his girl to Otis. They love Otis, man. They love Otis. Vince loves Otis. And, of course, he is your Money in the Bank champion, Money in the Bank winner. And the thing is, soon to be. You never know. But the thing is, like, I have no issue with giving him an opportunity. I congratulate him for doing what he's done because he's gotten over. But, again, though, it's over because he's been a comedic character. And we know how short a lifespan they have, unless you're R-Truth. And then, just the way he won it. It makes sense because you couldn't climb the ladder, right? But still, I mean, you kind of want it to, you kind of want the champion to kind of have earned it. So I get it why it's all comedic and everything like that. But Trendsetter, at the end of the day, we know where it all leads to when you're a comedic character and you're over.
Yeah, it leads to basically going back to the catering, basically, which I'm sure Otis would have no problem doing that. But I see your point, though. But hey, we have to be fair here, though. The whole storyline between Otis and Mandy and Sonya Deville and Ziggler added in there did add some compelling TV. Now, whether you like that kind of love story triangle, like, to me, I'm still bitter because I still think Trish Stratus and Chris Jericho should have been together. There's no way they should have done that. But again, hindsight's 2020. It was amazing for Trish Stratus' career when she betrayed Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 20 and slapped him across the face and ran off with Christian. You little, whatever. But I'm still bitter about it. I'm sorry, guys. But, it went for compelling television. This whole storyline, with Beauty and the Beast kind of scenario with Otis and Mandy. And with this, my biggest thing is that, when you look at, ultimately, they had a mixed tag match now. It's probably going to lead to maybe a match down the road again at Backlash. But then I'm always the one thinking, okay, well, what's next for Mandy now? Because granted, they're going to be a couple, but they can't always do everything together. They're moving Otis now into singles competition, whether people want to, you know, hope that Heavy Machinery comes back together. I kind of doubt that right now because the momentum's going right now. It seems like they're really invested in Otis, and Vince really likes him right now, so they want to see how this goes.
The victim in all this has been Tucker Knight.
Yeah, because, Tucker. I feel bad for him, man. He's really sitting back not doing anything right now. And they're kind of throwing jabs at that during the commentating this portion where, you know, it's evident that that's what's going on right now. You know, what goes on here, obviously it's going to lead into the match with Backlash, but I like to see more of the development of Sonya. You know, I'll give credit there, too. I've been impressed with Sonya in terms of her ability. She was more of just an MMA fighter. Now she has more of a persona, a personality.
She'll
behind
be women's
her.
Champion by the end of the year.
You think so?
I think so.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, I'm for the women's division, but yeah. I want to see characters like Mandy and characters like Sonya, who've done great as a tag team, and now that they're separated, I want to see layers. I want to see dimensions from them. You're seeing that from Sonya. You're seeing a different type of side from Mandy, so that's great. Who's the odd man out in all this is Dolph Ziggler. He's a chameleon of the WWE. He's been a chameleon on SmackDown, but like, what more can Dolph do once this is done? What else is out there for him? So we'll see as the weeks go by. It's eventually going to lead to Backlash. But, you know, I might be one of the few that say this. I'm kind of happy when this is over because then we get to see what happens to the Money in the Bank title match, the briefcase. We get to see what happens with Mandy and Sonya down the road. And then we'll see what eventually happens with Dolph.
Yeah, if push comes to shove and I'm a betting guy, and right now I'm looking to bet on any kind of sport now with the lack of sports being out there,
yeah.
I don't think Otis will end up cashing it. I really don't. I think somehow good guys always end up last, folks, especially in pro wrestling. Ooh. So I really don't think that he's cashing that title. That title. He's not cashing in that briefcase. All right, Trendster, then we get a promo from the Forgotten Sons. And as much as I really want to be behind these guys, especially for Steve Cutler, who's a Jersey guy, too.
Oh, yeah, representing.
And, you know, we're from Jersey, too, so we really like to, you know, support everyone who, you know, is in Jersey. So Steve Cutler, you know, we want to see you succeed. But I just don't know, man. It just reminds me too much of Sanity. I know these guys are really good.
And we know how that ended up, basically.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'll see what happens. But right now, you get the promo. We'll see if they get pushed hard. They're very talented, man. Very talented guys, and hopefully we see the WWE do right by them. But, again, only time will tell.
Why do you think it's so difficult for trios to be effective? Now, we know the Shield was effective as a trio. The OC or the club, wasn't that effective? A Sanity. It's really hard. I mean, they're trying to do that now with Seth. You know, obviously, Seth and his little entourage there. But why do you think trios are so difficult? I mean, it worked for the NWO. It worked with DX. Why is it so difficult now, do you think?
Well, I mean, but the thing is, NWO and DX weren't trios.
Well, you had a trio with, you know, with Hogan, Hall and Nash.
Yeah, but then
and then it was China, Hunter, and Shawn. Well, it worked. I mean, I guess you got Rick Rude in there.
I'm thinking when it came. See, here's the thing. It depends on which ones. I'm thinking of X-Pac, Billy Gunn, and the Road Dogg, and Triple H. Yeah, and then I'm thinking of when the NWO expanded to like 500 people. So it depends on what you're talking about. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, trios works in other federations and other wrestling companies.
I work for the New Day. I can't believe I forgot about them.
Yeah, well, they're the best example of it, right?
Yeah.
But it just depends, man. Like I said, like WWE is really behind them right now, so we'll see what happens to them. Maybe they kind of break that mold and they become as successful and they become, you know, a team to be reckoned with. So, you know, again, we'll see what happens.
Well, talking about reckoned with, though, Jeff, down the road, like you mentioned, you know, something that hopefully they get involved in is the tag team division. I mean, I talked about the women's division needing some depth. That tag team division needs a lot of depth, and hopefully they can bring it to there, to the fact that we keep seeing the same teams pitted up against each other. It becomes to the point where, when was the last time we saw the tag team champions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, closing up with Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, Trendsetter. Sheamus had this match, man. He had it all the way, and Jeff Hardy comes out with the victory. Another roll-up. I mean, it's just, okay, whatever.
Wacky roll-up guy, Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy, a guy that you know. If his brother is having all the success in AEW, you know they're not going to put Jeff Hardy on the afterburner, on the back burner, and just put him on the sideline. You know they have to equal, if not go above and beyond to make her a bigger star than Matt Hardy, because you can see Matt Hardy's already main evented on AEW. So, you know, there's no way Jeff Hardy's going to lose this match. So they built Sheamus up. He got a lot in here. He's, you know, he's bitter that, you know, he's being overlooked. And again, it's going to add to his character that he lost again to Jeff Hardy. It might be a feud, but at the end of the day, Jeff Hardy's moving on, and he's taking on Daniel Bryan, which is a dream match. But I'm talking about if you are looking ahead, if you are somebody that's looking at a dream match of all dream matches.
I know what you're going to say. Elias and Jeff Hardy.
Oh, that was it. That was it. You read my mind. I am talking about, and there's no shot at Daniel Bryan, because if we had Daniel Bryan AJ, again, that's, we've seen it already, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles, which, you know, I would love to see. Again, do I trust WWE in being able to present something that I've wanted to see? Again, that's on them. But on paper, Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles in the finals of the IC title is not a bad thing.
No, I would agree with you, yeah. I mean, that's when I looked at the brackets, you know, I first initially saw Bryan and AJ Styles, and I was like, ooh, wow, that'd be cool. But we've kind of seen that already, and it'd be nothing wrong, and it's not a knock on Daniel Bryan, but to see AJ and Jeff. Now, we saw a lot of that, guys, you know, wrestling does exist out of the WWE bubble, and Impact and TNA. So it'd be cool to see them kind of work together in WWE, and especially for the Intercontinental Championship. That would be really cool. So, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. That would be a dream match to see at Backlash. Those two pitted together, and again, they're building up this whole thing where, you know, this is Jeff Hardy's last one good run left in him, like
after
the Nature Boy,
37 chances to Woo! Redeem himself. But again, though, I'm not going to judge on that too.
Yeah, somebody sounds a little bit bitter there.
But again, though, but you have to think about it. If Matt Hardy is already main eventing on AEW and he's going to be in a stadium brawl, you know, with the Elite, you know, Jeff Hardy can't be anywhere in the back burner. They have to have him up front on the forefront too. And I think that we're going to get that final, Trendsetter. I think we're going to get that final. And we might get the final at Backlash, the greatest wrestling match ever. Is that what you told me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're building it up with the whole Edge and Randy Orton thing. Before we close real quick, side note, I don't think it's a huge influence what's going on with Matt Hardy and AEW of why they're doing this with Jeff Hardy. I think, honestly, if I was WWE, I want that final potential of what Jeff Hardy could have been so many years ago without, obviously, him dealing with the demons. So I think that has a lot to do with it, to see, finally, can we get everything we want out of Jeff Hardy at this particular moment in this stage in his career. But in terms of what this whole Backlash is based on, Jeff, with Edge and Randy Orton, again, we saw them at WrestleMania and that last man standing match. It could have gone a little bit shorter than that, but again, hindsight's 20/20 because we led up to this, and they're going to have a singles match now. Edge is kind of doubting himself, saying, you know what, I came back to compete, but could I really go toe-to-toe at this stage in my career, especially coming off of a neck injury like he had before, being gone for about 4 years, more than that.
Yeah, a while.
A while.
But we'll leave that for the Raw guys.
Yeah, we'll leave that for the Raw guys. But again, it's intriguing that it's built on something like that. But, you know, it's amazing, and you know, SmackDown's doing its best to build up that card. But again, I think a lot of it's pitted on their dream match that you and I want to see, which is Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles.
I am, and we're a dream tag team right here.
Yeah, and you're mine, not mine.
Well, I think that we're a great tag team what we're doing here, and that's why we decided to come on the WWE podcast and do the HSP SmackDown review, HSP High Spot podcast, as we're rebranding the show. Follow us on all our social media platforms. At High Spot Podcast, I am Jeff Martin, the trendsetter. Follow him on Twitter at Bryberga, and you can follow me at Jeff Martin HSP. Our shows, High Spot Podcast, are on bodyslam.net. Catch them every Friday, new episodes every Friday. And again, give us a follow on our social media. And looking forward to be part of this for the long term. And we want to thank Matt for bringing us on board. Also, tons of great shows. You got your Raw reviews, your Wrestling Nostalgia, Saturday Night Week in Review with a great cast. You got Mary Grader, the Mayor Bear, our own friend there, Ashley Mann, Anthony DeMarco, the NXT review by Zach Smith, and the AEW review by Jeff Johnson. So obviously a lot of AEW Double or Nothing talk. A lot of stuff going on with them. NXT as well. Killer Cross is now in the fold. He's going to take on Tommaso Ciampa. So a lot of stuff going on, Trendsetter. And we will be taking care of SmackDown for the very foreseeable future. We want to hear your feedback, guys. You know, let everyone leave a review on Apple Podcasts about the WWE podcast. You know, tell us what you think. Are we doing a good job? Was it the first? Was it the best debut out of anybody in this network? Let us know. We want to find out. We can do better, but we're going to make this fun, guys, here as we continue to do this trendsetter.
Yes, we are the Jersey Red Crew. For Jeff Marr, and I am the trendsetter, Brian Brega. First episode's in the books, but hopefully it won't be the last.
Yeah, trendsetter. And we're going to close here. First of all, have a happy Memorial Day weekend, guys, again. But also to value life, because this past week we lost Chad Gaspard. You know, one word for him, hero. He got caught in a wave in Venice Beach, and when rescuers came, he said for them to take his son. He got caught under a wave after that and washed away. The searchers looked for the body. His body washed up later on the next day, and his body was found and confirmed that we lost Chad Gaspard. And from all the accounts of everybody on social media and everyone that we know, the man was a great man and a hero. And that's what I'm going to take away from Chad Gaspard. He put his son's life before his, and the man is a hero. And we lost a good one this past week, trendsetter.
We definitely did. And huge condolences goes out to the family.
And trendsetter, of course, you're listening to the WWE podcast, HSP SmackDown Review. And leave it on that note. This show is dedicated in the memory of Chad Gaspard.